Time to get our weekly view from the north with a twist this week. A, it's Friday. And B, he was actually just down south covering Pac-12 Media Days. Comcast Sportsnet, online, CSN and W.com. Talking ball, talking ducks. Comcast Channel 737 on my Xfinity system. On Twitter, at Aaron J. Fentress. Mr. Fentress, how you doing?
I'm doing well, but you know what? I'm thinking that maybe we need to switch up the MJ song for this year.
All right, what's your call?
Surprise me.
Okay. We move from Beat It, a staple of the Fentress segment, for going back to when Jordan was at North Carolina. So I guess change is good. Let's so, you know, speaking of, normally when you hit a city for an event, you always find something outside of what you're covering, like Michael Jackson won in Vegas. So when you were in LA, outside of filing reports on media polls and quarterback maturity, did you get to do anything else fun?
The only thing I really did was go to the what's the Hollywood Chinese Theater? What's it called?
Grauman's Chinese Theater.
Yeah, so I saw like Shirley Temple's little palm prints and things like that. cement. I think I saw Humphrey Bogart. I can't remember. I saw Tom Cruise, but that wasn't as impressive. Matt Damon. I was mainly looking for the older stars. But it was kind of dark, but mainly we went over there because we went to see Dunkirk, the movie.
Yeah.
And the main theater there, the one that's right there in front of the where all the cement stuff is,
right,
is just ginormous. The screen, the largest screen I've ever seen by far. I mean, it was just amazing. And the sound system was incredible. Loudest movie I've ever been to. So, yeah, that's pretty much the only thing I did. Cool.
That counts. That's kind of a bucket list thing. Yeah. Knowing his habit, did the Bogart print smell like Chesterfield cigarettes?
I did not get down on my knees.
Good for you. So let's start with this. There was an article in the New York Times, more CTE research, pretty substantial, 110 of 111 brains with evidence of the disease. You're a dad. By the way, your son's got one of the coolest names ever. You coach youth football. So with what we know, or I guess I should inquire, does Peyton play football? Was there a conversation? What's your Papa Fentress take on all this?
I've never coached youth. I've coached semi-pro.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Adults, not kids. He's not really a football player type. He likes football. He would kind of like want to play football. I think he thinks he'd want to play football. I don't think he'd want to deal with the physicality of football. Because he barely likes the physicality of flag football. Like, he has to get too close to someone and take their flag. He's not liking that very much. It's taking all I can to get him to play tough defense in basketball. So I think he just likes the idea of football, so we don't have to worry about it. But my wife put her foot down a long time ago that no, she would not let him play. And, you know, if he were like really like dynamic and it was obvious he's going to be really good, then I might push for it, but not until he was maybe eighth grade or freshman.
Right.
Which is what a lot of people recommend, that there's no reason for young kids to play tackle football. They can play flag and still get the gist.
Sure.
I mean, you're still running and catching. You're not blocking the same, but you can learn that when you're 14. So, yeah, that would be a battle if he were really good, but he's not that kid. Like, he's more of a baseball kind of kid.
Good.
So I don't think I have to worry about it.
Cool.
But, yeah, I don't blame parents for freaking out. And now all those brains that were turned in were brains where people suspected it anyway, so it's not surprising that the rate was high. But clearly, this is an ongoing issue that's gonna be revealing more and more information as the years go on, and it's not trending in the right direction for what the NFL probably would want.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So I also saw over the weekend you were on Twitter and Facebook live from King Felix's court at Safeco, facing the Yankees with both of your kids. So a two-parter. How did they enjoy their first MLB game, and how did they feel about the 10 and karma I shot your way, leading to a Yankee victory?
Well, they both absolutely enjoyed the game, especially my son. He thought it was awesome. He's actually been playing with the Mariners on MLB, the show baseball game, so he's kind of learned the players pretty well. And whenever they're on, it's funny, he'll go to the TV and just like, oh, the Mariners are on. He'll turn them on and watch them. And this all clicked. Like, so his first nine, he's 10. So the first 9 years of his life, like, I couldn't really get him into sports. I almost had to bribe him. I'm like, look, if you watch the Cubs game with me and they win, I'll give you $10. He's like, okay. What if they lose? You get nothing. Well, that's nice. But they won the World Series last year, so we did pretty well. But then all of a sudden it clicked. And I remember back, it clicked for me younger, but I remember that there was that moment where I was like, oh, my God, I want to watch everything that's on. So it finally clicked for him. So he enjoyed it. My daughter enjoyed it. But we were in the King's Court, which meant every time he had 2 Ks on somebody, everyone stood up and held up the K sign and went K, 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 K. Right? And Kingfield has got, he had 10 strikeouts that game and yep. probably had about 9 other times he had 2 strikes on somebody. But what's funny is like the first 3-4 innings, every time he got 2 strikes, everyone was jumped up going K, 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 K. By like the 7th inning, it was more like K, 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 K. It was like everybody cheated out. It was hilarious.
That's brilliant. We're talking with Aaron Ventress of Comcast
the beer
Sports.
In, the greasy burgers and fries settling in people's guts with beer all kicked in there like a nap time.
Yeah, K, maybe in an L, the occasional M. While most folks think Aaron Ventress, they connect it to Oregon football, but some good stuff about the Beavs who've already started practicing. It's now year 3 under Gary Anderson. First season, obviously, 0 for the conference. Better last year. So I guess the bowl is the goal. How realistic you think it is that OSU gets back to the postseason this year?
You know, I think it's right there in front of them, man. I think they can squeeze out 2 more wins. I talked to Anderson about how, you know, last year his big thing was we got to be more physical. They just got shoved around in 2015, and it was obvious they were just physically outmanned. And then last year he felt like they really improved in that area, that there weren't very many moments, let alone games, where he felt like his team just got physically run over. But he and the players there lamented the fact that, you know, they let some games slip away. Like, they lost 3 games by a touchdown or less. They lost 3 other games by 14 or less, which, you know, 14 is getting, you know, you're getting beat, but at least you're in it, as opposed to you look at their scores the 2 previous years.
Right.
And if 14 would have been like, oh, we basically won. So they were lamenting the fact that mentally they just weren't there yet last year to close out those types of games. Ryan Nall really talked about the Washington State game, where I think they're up 24-6 at halftime and end up losing 35-31. So they're hoping that now, with so many guys who've been in the program under Anderson and grown up in the system, that they're ready to take the next step mentally to match where they've gotten to physically. Anderson said they have 50 guys who can squat 500 pounds, which I've never done a 500-pound squat count per team, but it sounds like a lot. If half the team can do that, that seems pretty good. They feel good about where they are and think they can definitely squeeze out a couple more wins. And maybe even be, you know, the Colorado of this year. Colorado came out of nowhere last year. Maybe the Beavers can do the same.
Whoa, bold. One of the stories that hit, of course.
I'm not predicting that.
No. But, and believe me, last year, nobody was predicting Colorado either.
Nobody.
So one of the stories that hit, Darren Carrington, dismissed here, lands at Utah. Yeah. From what appears to be like walking that hypocrisy line, you know, everybody's now seen that plaque with their 5 core values, and DC's out because of 2 of them. So, you know, you were down with some of the Utes in LA. What's your read on, you know, his getting this opportunity in this conference at a really good program like Utah?
Yeah, I figured he would land okay. You know, if you're a program like Utah and you need a receiver and you can get a talent like this, you got to hope, one, that he had to have learned his lesson by now. He just got kicked off the team, right? He got kicked off a team, and he's basically 9 months away from the NFL draft. You know, if he can't fly straight now, he's never going to do it. So you have to figure, you know, if you're calculating out, it has to be a reasonable chance he can get through 4 months of staying out of trouble, you would hope.
Right.
And the players I talked to, I cannot remember their names. I can't pronounce them anyway. They both said, you know, that they'll welcome him back, that they believe in second chances. They've had many players come through Utah that have been on sort of a second chance program, and they think he'll do okay. But both said they do not want him talking about that game-winning touchdown. That still hurts, the one he caught with 2 seconds left late last season. They're still stinging about that. He better not bring it up. They'll even go there is what they said, but they'll definitely welcome him making some plays like that for them this season.
All right, let's get to Oregon. And one thing we know, You hear about ducks, you hear about uniforms. They post what colors they're wearing on the site. They tell fans how to dress. It's like the college football version of Project Runway. So Coach Taggart announced the days of a new outfit per game are over. Now, it seems simple, but, you know, is it like one of these message moves, like with pulling those single-digit numbers that, yo, clean slate, all new, everything is earned, including the jersey you put on?
Yeah, and that's pretty much what he said, is that, you know, there's too much attention being placed on that. They need to win. They weren't very good. It doesn't make any sense to be running around in fancy new uniforms every week if you're not playing well. And they didn't last year. And I asked Troy Dye and Herbert about it, and they both said, you know, at the time they weren't thinking about it during the season last year, but looking back at it, it's like, yeah, we wore a different uniform every week. We got waxed. and of course, we all remember the throwback uniforms where they looked like Cal getting beaten up by Washington.
Ugh.
Actually, the way the game went, it looked more like Cal getting beat up by the Minnesota Vikings, the way they got beaten up by the Ravens, and they just got destroyed. So they're going to tone it back this year. Now, he wouldn't say what that meant. You know, I tried to get out of him. Is it going to be 8? Is it going to be 10 different? Is it going to be, he wouldn't say. So for all I know, you know, it's going to be 9.
Right.
then who will notice? Or maybe they just say, you know, we're going to win two different combos on the road and then have a different combo every game at home. I don't know. So, you know, we'll see. But yeah, I mean, the idea clearly is that maybe they need to tone it down a little bit since they had such a bad season.
Last couple thoughts for Aaron Fentress, Comcast Sports Net. We saw the media poll, and I don't think anybody was expecting Oregon to go worse to first. Vegas had the over-under at 8. Media's got him 4th in the North. So do you cast the ballot, and have we uncovered the honk who picked the Ducks to win the division and the Pac-12 title game?
No. I've tweeted out calling for this person. They have not revealed themselves. I imagine they're going to be at media day. Has to be someone who covers the team.
Right.
I can't imagine there's someone who doesn't cover Oregon who honestly thinks they're going to win it. So I'm going to try, I'm going to walk around on Sunday at media day and ask everyone there, did you pick the Ducks? And I'm not trying to shame them. Like I said in my tweet, I just want to know who did it because we're going to praise you at the end of the year if you're right.
Right.
And this kind of goes into my whole, you know, that tweet of the week. I didn't really have anyone really bad, but this one guy, he couldn't believe that I was even making a thing out of this, saying it's not that big of a, you know, big of a reach. They've won 4 of the last 8 Pac-12 titles, and I'm like, dude, this team hasn't won jack. There's three significant guys on this team, actually 4, that played on the 2014 team: Freeman, Crosby, Nelson as a true freshman, and Tyree was playing then as a backup safety. So it's like, you know, this team is completely different staff. You know, I don't want to hear what happened. And please don't bring up 2009 through 2011. That's completely irrelevant. But he went on and on about, you know, they've had more success than failure. Therefore, I'm like, dude, they were 4-8 last year. That's all that's relevant to this team. Virtually that entire team is back. And so I really cannot see how they can win the conference unless Browning got injured and Stanford had a bunch of guys go down, and then you need a bunch of guys for USC. I mean, there's a lot of things they have to get through with such a young team to win it. I do think that if they can keep Herbert healthy, they're going to win games. They're going to win 7-8 games. Maybe they steal 1, win 9. Because if you have the quarterback, you have a chance, and they've got the quarterback.
Well, it would be like if a Laker fan got ticked off at a prognosticator for next year, picking him not to make the playoffs. Didn't you see Magic and Kobe and Shaq? And be like, yeah, that's got a lot to do with it.
There's one other angle to this, too, is that, the defense, we all know, has to turn things around. And you know, Manu's out for the season. Malawalo got kicked off the team last year. So they're relying heavily on Jordan Scott, who Taggart was just salivating all over yesterday. I'm about to post about that now. He thinks Jordan Scott's going to be first, you know, all freshman league, all Pac-10 freshman this season. And the thing is, he right now is their starter with Baker backing him up. And that's really the only two defensive tackles you kind of have right now. You're running the 3-4, if you're relying on a true freshman and the Baker who's solid to man the middle for you, that could be a little dicey. And I'm not saying Jordan Scott can't become great. I'm just not sure I'm buying him being great enough early on to really help turn the interior of a defense around. So it's going to be fascinating. But if that kid comes through, they have a good chance to win 8 or 9.
No, that's been your call early on. All the things that are happening are great. But, man, in this league with that kind of defense, you better be strong up the middle, especially in that front seven. All right. Hey, good stuff as always. Keep up, CSNNW.com, channel 737 on your Xfinity system. On Twitter, try and keep it sane, at Aaron J. Fentress. AF, I guess I'll catch up with you on Sunday.
Sounds good, man. Take care.
All right, take it easy.